If you think it's lousy to get through the shortest day of the year now, consider what it was like before there were light bulbs. Before 1875, gas lighted the way, and before gas, there were just candles. Centuries and centuries of candles. They affected how we saw things, when we saw things, and what we saw. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg concludes her series on technology and art with notes on candles and opera.
In her film about the doomed French queen Marie Antoinette, director Sofia Coppola used, anachronistically on purpose, 21st century music. But the movie looked 18th century, from its costumes to its lighting. Coppola's director of photography, Lance Accord, had to invent ways to make party scenes shot at Versailles look as if they were lit by hundreds of 18th century candles.
We had these styrofoam balls, large ones, like 2 feet in diameter. We would wrap those with hundreds of small lights and then hang them from a string from a lighting stand over the actors. And those really produced the same effect as a chandelier.
For the Versailles opera scene, the entire ceiling was lined with about 10,000 lights, a mix of marquee bulbs and little Christmas twinklers, all this to replicate the brilliance of Versailles, where you went to the opera to see and be seen.
People are beautifully dressed.
Joan Dijon, author of The Essence of Style, about the court of Louis XIV, the king who made Versailles dazzle.
Women with fabulous hairdos, with lots of diamonds in their hair, and all of that is sparkling because of the candles everywhere and the mirrors. It was really a glimmering world.
In the 17th century, they didn't just sing an opera. There were ballets, there were recitations, dialogues, incredible effects, storms, flying figures, blood spurting.
Everything.
Opera specialist Denise Gallo says the impresario of these candle-lit spectacles was Jean-Baptiste Lully, composer, director, choreographer. He made opera the bling thing at Versailles. And aside now, nothing to do with candles, but such a story. Lully, for all his success, came to a sad demise. Musical, but sad. Lully was also a conductor.
The French would conduct by pounding a stick. You would hear this bum, 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 bum. And he had on some rather delicate slippers at one point and pierced the slipper with the pointed stick and came down with blood poisoning and died.
Hoisted on his own baton. Early operas could last, are you ready for this? 5 hours. Imagine the candle power it took then to see them.
The lighting available certainly influenced the duration and performance of operas and ballets, and the same was true for plays.
Historian Orest Ranum found old engravings of theaters with banks and banks of chandeliers, each holding 10 candles. His wife Patricia says the chandeliers were lifted and lowered with pulleys.
The candle obviously posed a problem. How long can you light an act without running out of candles, because you can't stop in the middle and spoil everything by lowering your chandeliers and refilling them and then pulling them up again.
So the music was tailored to the candle's staying power. Pat Ranum took a recording of Marc-Antoine Charpentier's opera Medea, checked the timing of each of its 5 acts, and found an odd pattern.
Acts 1, 2, 3, and 4 were between 33 and 39 minutes long. But then at each end came something very strange. The prologue was just not quite 25 minutes, and the same was true for Act 5.
What could this mean? Patricia Ranum's theory is this. The candles gave an hour's worth of reliable light. So composers factored in the lowering, replenishing, relighting, and raising of the chandeliers when they wrote their middle acts. But why were the prologue and the last act shorter? Because the audience came in to a fully lighted hall, blazing candles. They needed time to find their seats, take off their cloaks, settle in, inspect what the queen was wearing. The short prologue let them do all that and not run out of light. And the last act of Medea was also short, so the Versailles glitterati could see their way out. Ta-da! Now, can you imagine all of the wax that must have dripped down in that hall from those chandeliers?
Well, luckily, I don't think it was their real hair, so it's probably not much of an issue.
That's right, they're wearing wigs. Nell Boyce from our science desk is here.
Candles are ancient. We have records of the ancient Egyptians and Romans using candles that they made by basically taking reeds or papyrus and kind of dipping them in animal fat. Huh. We know that in like 600 AD, they were using beeswax in China. And then all through the Middle Ages, basically, the common people in Europe were using animal fat candles.
Suet, yeah.
Yeah, they were terrible. They were smelly and smoky. Now, if you were the nobility or the clergy, you would get wax. And wax was super sweet. I mean, it smelled like honey. It was beautiful. But, you know, it's funny. If you think about candles, they're an example of a technology that hasn't changed for millennia. These days, we have all sorts of fancy lighting and everything. But what do we want? We want candlelight.
Marie Antoinette and the various King Louis paid a fortune for their 1,000 points of wax candlelight. You needed 100 pounds of candles to light one evening of Charpentier. It would have taken a country schoolteacher 2 months to earn what the palace paid to see a single performance. But those operas, written by and for candlelight, survived the revolution and are even performed under light bulbs today.
This is ridiculous.
This, madame, is Versailles.
I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News. Hey!
You can hear all the stories in this series at NPR.org. You're listening, perhaps in the dark, to Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.